This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Moving in Godly Ability, was delivered on April 28, 2019. Here now is Pastor Aaron.
Good morning again, everybody. Let me get situated here. A little bit of a story behind that song. John was actually supposed to do that last month. In the month of March. And the week that he was going to do it, he calls me up and says, Pastor Aaron, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able, and I can hear it in his voice. He said, I'm sick. And first thing I thought was, oh man, it's too bad. But you know why I really felt bad? It was because I was the one who made him sick that week. Now, maybe subconsciously I did that on purpose, because I really wanted him to sing the song for today. And it fits so perfectly. John, well done. And I don't know about you, but those are the two words that I most long to hear, spoken by the creator of the universe. If he were ever to say those words to me, whether in this life or the next, that would make my eternity. Maybe you haven't thought of it before, but would you imagine for one moment the very same voice that sang all of creation into existence, every bird, every animal, every rock, every mountain, the sun, the moon, and every single star in the sky, if that voice would direct its full attention towards you and utter those two words, well done, that would be to die for. Wouldn't it? More precisely, to live for. Now, with that in mind, it's vital to understand that God does not just say those words to just anybody. He won't hand them out like a participation trophy. Those are words that are reserved for those who please his heart by completing the purpose for which he individually ordained each and every one of us for. No doubt that you've already seen the message title for today, Moving in Godly Ability. And I also have no doubt that the first thought that went through your mind when you saw this title was that I'd be speaking today about performing miracles or healings or speaking in tongues or maybe preaching or teaching the Word of God. I know that that's what I'd be thinking. But that's not what we'll be discussing today, not directly at least, because those things I just mentioned are not abilities. They are actually spiritual gifts granted to believers by the Holy Spirit. And let me quickly tell you the major difference between spiritual gifts and godly abilities, okay? Spiritual gifts, like I just mentioned, are given by the Holy Spirit to believers as he sees fit. So you might have a gift of healing. She might have the gift of tongues. He might have the gift of discernment. And doesn't mean that I have them. You know what my gifts are? My gifts are teaching and helps. And again, that doesn't mean that they are your gifts. In fact, let me just sidetrack for a moment because there's something important that needs to be said about this. You see, my gifting and James' gifting and even Pastor Scott's gifting is no more important than yours. God gave each and every one of us different gifts. And then you know what he did? He placed us all together in this family called New Hope East Hawaii so that using all of our gifts together, we would more effectively accomplish the things that he's purposed for us. And here's the important thing, that I probably don't get to hear the words, well done, unless you do. The spiritual gifts are doled out individually by God as he sees fit. The godly abilities, on the other hand, everybody has. It was breathed into the first man by God himself, and it runs in our DNA. Doesn't matter who you are, Christian or not, Jew or Gentile, good or bad, the only criteria to having godly ability is that you're human. How many of you are human here today? Would you write that into your notes? Everyone has been given godly ability. Everyone has been given godly ability. However, we don't always choose to operate in them, do we? In fact, I wouldn't hesitate to say that some people, even Christians, don't live them out at all. Here's the thing about godly ability. To move in godly ability is a personal choice. To move in godly ability is a personal choice. Again, everybody has them, but we don't always choose to move in them. And again, I wouldn't hesitate to say that the reason we have so many problems in society today is because of just this, that we don't choose to move in godly ability nearly enough. Seems that the further we move into time, the further we move away from God, the less and less prevalent these abilities are in our lives. And you will see what I mean when I begin to tell you what they are. There are really a plethora of abilities that God gave us when he breathed life into us. Today I'm going to talk about three basic but very important ones. Because the fact is, if we don't get back to moving in godly ability, then we'll never see the gifts of the Spirit move in our lives. And we'll never get to see God's purpose for our lives come to fruition. And most importantly, we'll never hear the words, "well done." So, it begins by making ourselves available to him. Placing ourselves in his presence, where he can begin to breathe those abilities back into us. And that's the first godly ability that we're going to talk about today. Availability. How you like that one? How many of you like me who look at the notes and then try to figure out what passages answers are before he says them? Carlin and I always challenge on that. I will put down money today that you didn't get this one. And I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking that availability is not really an ability. But yes, it is. It says so, right in the second part of that word. It is the ability to make oneself available. Take a quick look at the first part of that word, avail. You know what to avail means? It means to overcome. And that literally is what availability is. The ability to overcome. To overcome everything else that is pulling your heart, that is vying for your time, that is distracting you. Pushing all those things aside to be focused and ready and right where God is asking you to be. That's what godly availability is. Like I said before, the godly abilities are becoming less and less prevalent, and availability is a victim of that, isn't it? We can all make ourselves available to God's will in our lives, but seldom do we choose to. Nowadays, availability is a real commodity, one that goes to the highest bidder most often. We so often choose to make ourselves available to the things or the people who have the most in it for us. Listen to this. Out of the book of Isaiah, God describes how he chooses to make himself available. Where he says, "I've made myself available to those who haven't bothered to look, haven't bothered to ask. I'm here, ready to be found by those who haven't bothered to look. I kept saying, I'm here, I'm right here, to a nation that ignored me. Reached out day after day to a people who turned their backs on me. People who make wrong turns, who insist on doing things their own way." Now folks, this is how God views availability. That he's ready and willing and there, whether we ask for it or not. He's not there just for the highest offer. God is there, period. Now, I'm not saying that we have to be exactly like God and there for everybody at all times. That would kill us. That wouldn't be wise. Turn to the person next to you and say this, okay? Three words. You're not God. But God did make you in his image. He put his breath into you. And what I am saying is that he's asking that he's available to us. And he's asking us to be available to him. Ask yourself this question. What is God asking me to do? What is God asking me to do? If you know the answer to that question, then good. Now go do it. If you don't know the answer, I will tell you why. Not because God hasn't been trying to tell you, but because you haven't made yourself available to hear him. Yeah, but Pastor Aaron, no more time. Yeah? So we always say, no more time. Well, let me tell you a little bit story about time. I was, it's probably about 20 years ago now, and you know that I used to work for the electric company, for Helco. I was a lineman with them. And it was back in the time when the Saddle Road was just getting built. It was still going up. You go up Kamana Drive, and right up at the top there above Country Club, where that junction is that becomes the new Saddle Road, and or you can take the right turn to go to the old Saddle Road. We needed to move the line so that they could build the road properly going through that section. Well, when the state asked us to do that job, we also had another big project over in Waimea. And I purposely made myself unavailable to that project because I didn't want to go away. I didn't want to go away because it was also right around this time, Easter was coming up. And I knew how busy I was going to be as a volunteer assistant pastor at the church I was at that time. Now, when this project came up, we had this skeleton crew. There was like five of us working here in Hilo. And all five of us, instead of working 60 hours out in Waimea every week, we ended up working 75 hours here in Hilo because rush project, priority project, had to get it done. So, working 70 hours there, putting in another 40 hours with the church or so, trying to get Easter all together. Yeah, but I was Superman, yeah, back then. That's what I thought. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I went for it, and after about 2 weeks, I mean, I was just drained down to nothing. And this one day when I didn't have to work in the bucket and I didn't have to operate the winch truck, instead they had me hauling poles by myself, and 70-foot poles. Imagine that now, hauling 70-foot poles up the old Kamana Drive, all the way up to the top there. Good fun. I mean, if I had to turn around or I had an emergency or something, I would have been jammed up. But I got all the poles up there safely. And then while the other guys were working, for the first time in 2 weeks, I felt like, wow, I could actually take a break. So what I did was I kind of sneaked away from them. It was all bushes up there at that time. And I went up this hill on the bank where I could still see them working. But they couldn't see me. And I went away to hide just to take some time away and get away from all the noise. And there was this big rock, and I sat down on the rock. And I mean, I just felt defeated, depleted, tired as can be. And in the quiet, first quiet I had in 2 weeks, God shows up. It's this gentle breeze that comes down the mountain. And you know the mountain breeze up there, it's cold. This one was warm. And I heard God say this to me. He said, "Where you been?" And I, right away, you know, the only way to answer God is with an excuse, right? So I make the excuse, man, I just, no more time. I don't have any time working this project, getting Easter ready, and I've just had it. I no more time. And God said to me, "You know why you don't have time? Because you haven't given me time." And this is what the important thing that he said to me that day was, "You give me time, I'll give you time." Decided that I was going to wake up 1 hour earlier the next morning. And I did, just to do my devotions, sit with God. And for the next 3 weeks leading up to, two or three weeks leading up to Easter, we didn't cut any hours. Nothing got cut in that time. But I tell you what, I had way more energy. I got everything done that I needed to do. And we finished that project with flying colors. I will never forget that. And I promise you this, that God is not just the God of the things that we do in the physical. God is the God of time. And if you will give him time, he will give you time. Get it? Good. So no excuses. Jesus put it in these words. He said, "You must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected." You know what he's saying? He's saying, if you're not available, then you're going to miss it. You'll miss your call, you'll miss your purpose, maybe even miss eternity. Don't miss it. Be available to God, because availability puts us in a place where we can be used by God. Availability puts us in a place where we can be used by God. Puts us in that place where God can begin to show us our purpose. But it doesn't end there, because we have to do something about it. So to speak, we need to respond. And that's the second ability, is responsibility. Responsibility. Now, I have no doubt in my mind that you would agree with me when I say that this is a truly dying ability. Nobody like take responsibility for anything anymore, yeah? We live in an age where we spend twice as much time shielding ourselves from responsibility than actually performing the task. You know, you guys know what I do now? Anybody know what I do now? I actually work for the Green Waste Recycling Company. I love my job. I think I've told you that before. You know why? Well, when I first started working there, in that first week, they already had, a $650,000 loader, a $350,000 loader, a $450,000 excavator, and my million-dollar baby, a million-dollar grinder to process the green waste. It's $2 million in big boy toys that I get to play with every single day. Now you know why I love my job. But that million-dollar grinder came the week that I started working. My first job there, my boss made me do, was to take the old grinder, which is still worth about $500,000, take the old grinder and clean it all up so we could ship it to Waikoloa, because the Waikoloa yard actually processes about 3.5 times more green waste than we do here in Hilo. So he wanted that to be their backup machine. They did get a new million-dollar grinder as well. Took me 3 days to clean that thing up. I tell you, you think mulch would be easy to clean up? No way. Now when you get under the engine and everything, and then with the oils that come from the engine, this thing is a fire hazard if not cleaned well. You know, after I cleaned that machine, after the third day, I went to my boss and I told him, "You see that new machine right there? Never going to be like this. I'm going to take care of this thing." I was telling him, I'm going to be responsible for taking care of it. And I have. I have so much that this is unprecedented, that in 3 months, he watched me take care of this machine. And he said, "We're going to teach you to operate this thing." Oh, good fun. I was so happy. I mean, I didn't do it for that purpose, but they allowed me. So this is my baby. And I take really, really good care of her. That was about 2 years ago. But we sent that machine out to Waikoloa, the other one. Well, I used to work with this. There was this guy that was working with us who didn't have the same integrity, so to speak. He was the operator mechanic. And his thing was, The machine gonna get dirty anyway. Why are you cleaning them? That was his attitude. And I had to tell him, you know, I learned from this guy before. You didn't take a bath last night. And he said, yeah. You gonna get dirty again today? Why you take a bath today? It's a part of responsibility in taking care of the things that you believe that God gave you, like my job. Well, that's been his attitude all along. And then one day they sent him out to Waikoloa to go cover the grinding. Whenever we're in Hilo, something broke. If he's the mechanic, operator's fault. If he's the operator, mechanic's fault. It's like, bro, you're blaming yourself. But he went out to Waikoloa, and their brand new machine, because they don't take as good care of it as we do, that one's been down for, or was down for a couple of months. So he's operating the old one, and same thing now. After 2 years, the buildup is back there with all the mulch. And he lights the thing on fire. So now they're down two machines. And he called the boss, and you know what he told him? Yeah, caught fire because they don't take care of their machines. I'm like, come on, bro. Gotta be responsible for these things. That's just an example of responsibility. Somebody told me this, and you know, when he got back to Hilo after that, I talked to him, and I told him, you see what can happen when we don't take responsibility for the things that we're given? And I told him this that somebody told me. I thought this was just huge. This guy told me, your irresponsibility becomes someone else's responsibility. And I told him this, don't you ever let them that happen again. Take care of my baby. Now here's God's take on responsibility. It says, God's message, the God who created the cosmos, stretched out the skies, laid out the earth and all that grows from it, who breathes life into earth's people, makes them alive with his own life. I am God. I called you to live right and well. I have taken responsibility for you, kept you safe. You know what God is saying here? He's saying, you know who's responsible? I am. Whether things go right or wrong, good or bad, I am. I own it. And that is exactly how God desires for us to respond to the things that he's placed in our lives. To say, I am. To own it. Not to rack our brains and waste our time looking for blame. Somebody once told me that once you start searching for blame, you can stop. Just look in the mirror. And I'll be the first one to admit that this is me. You know when things go wrong at home? First thought that comes to my mind is, oh, what Carlin did now? Oh, how did AJ do this? And then God reminds me that he gave me my family as a gift. And whether things are because of my hand or not, I am responsible for them. Jesus said it like this. He said, a faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. Do you believe that God gave you your family, your community, your job? How about this one? Do you believe that God gave you this church? If you do, then own it. Take responsibility for it. Because when we move in responsibility rather than excuses, that's when we become effective. And even if we make mistakes, even if we fail, when we take responsibility for it, we'll learn from it. Someone once told me, we can make successes out of failures, but we can't do a thing with excuses. Speaking of excuses, you know what the biggest excuse is when it comes to this? Biggest excuse is, nobody else is doing it, so why should I? The apostle named Paul, who is credited with planting dozens of churches, whom I assume probably dealt with this excuse a whole lot, he answered it like this. He said, "Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct." You see, responsibility puts us in a place where God can use us effectively. Responsibility puts us in that place where God can use us effectively. Because that's where God knows that he can count on us, which is point number three, accountability. Accountability. Now, I stated that availability is at a low and responsibility is fleeting. Well, accountability in our society today is pretty much bottomed out. Just stop for a moment and you ask yourself, who can I count on? Who can I really count on? Count on to be there. Count on not to stab me in the back or throw me under the bus. Count on not to drop the ball and get the job done. Now pause for another moment and hear God asking that very same question to you. Who can I count on? Can I count on you? Will you be accountable for the things and, more importantly, the people who I have placed in your life? I love the words that Moses uses, written in the book of Deuteronomy, especially the way the New Living Testament coins it, where it says, "The Lord our God has secrets known to no one." We're not accountable for them, but we and our children are accountable forever for all that he has revealed to us, so that we may obey all the terms of these instructions. How many times do we get caught up in everything else and fail to be accountable for the things that are right in front of us? I do that all the time. But God is saying to us, just be accountable for what I ask you to do. Don't get distracted by everything else. You do well with what I give you, and I give you more. Faithful in the little, faithful in much. But start by being accountable with what I'm asking you to do. Again, I tell Carlin and AJ that all the time when they don't listen to me and things go wrong. Just gotta do what I ask you to do. You know, and every time I do that, doesn't take very long for God to tell me, good for you. Because I say that to you all the time. The thing about accountability is this, that the greatest things of all time always started out with someone choosing to be accountable with the little. All we really need to do is choose to do what God is asking us to do. Because one accountable person plus one omnipotent God equals powerful results. We simply need to choose to do so. Hebrews 4:13 tells us this. It says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him who we must give account." See, accountability puts us in a place where God can use us mightily. So like I said before, there are many, many, many godly abilities. And we all have them. And I believe with all my heart that if we will move in these three, things will start happening in this place. So let me wrap everything up with this today. Are you available to what God is asking you to do? Do you know what he's asking you to do? Then you need to get available. After you know what God is asking you to do, are you responsible for it? Do you own it? And in availability and responsibility, will you be accountable for those things? Your family, your job, your community, this church? Are you being everything that God is asking you to be there? Here's the bottom line for today. When we move in godly ability, God's will happens in our lives. Amen?
That was a good message. It reminded me of when I had a job that I had to choose, and I prayed to God, and it was taking away a lot of time from my family too. And God said I had to make myself more available to my family. And I prayed about it, and then a couple weeks later, he made a new job available, and now I get to spend a lot of time with them, and I've just been blessed. And this is the part of the end of service where we're going to ask anybody that wants to receive Jesus. We ask everybody to bow their heads, close their eyes, and we're going to say this prayer. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Father, forgive me of my sins, and I believe with all my heart you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for me on the cross. Father, I ask you to come live in me, mold me, and make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Hold on. Okay, let us all stand, and we're going to do one more worship song before it's over.
You've been listening to Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.